For offering. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for the men and women that you've raised up to train our children, to train our youth. And so, Lord, as a church, we just bless them in your name, Lord, and pray, God, that you would equip them, that you'd give them wisdom, and that you would help us to honor you as we honor your children. And so, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the children and junior high are dismissed to their classes, and the way that we take offering here, the ushers are kind of drop off the basket up front, and then it's kind of up to you guys to pass it back. So if you get lost, you can look to an usher, but basically just keep passing it behind you. So I'm just going to go through a couple quick announcements. Hey, that's me. So the first is Fruit Bearers, and Fruit Bearers, for those of you who don't know, is a core mission of Adventure Church, and Fruit Bearers was started by Wes and Judy Robbie, and they want to invite you to a fundraising banquet called An Evening with Fruit Bearers, and so it's going to take place May 8th, and they're offering a free catered dinner and an opportunity to support the kingdom and everything that's going on in the Philippines. And so that's going to take place 6:30 to 8:30 here. And you can RSVP on our website. We have a little button that you can RSVP about that. And then also, this is the fun part. This is where all of us get to participate. If you are very good at making desserts, we need world-class desserts, because what's going to happen is part of the fundraising effort is we're going to be auctioning off desserts. And so they need to be large enough for 8 people. And so if you are talented, especially talented at making an amazing dessert, you can get in contact with Anya to volunteer. And so she's actually teaching our class. She's one of the teachers that we just dismissed. But you can, in your bulletin is this Evening with Fruit Bearers flyer. And on the bottom down below is her email. And so next, tonight is Adventure University. And so we're actually going to say be there at 5:50, and that's up at the main campus. And we have 3 different classes that you can choose from. And so the first class is the Truth Project. And basically, the Truth Project is the backbone of Christianity and how to be a Christian in a relativistic society. I said it. That was good. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to pull that one off. All right, so the next class is the what and how of a spirit-led life. And that class is an invitation to the relationship God had in mind when he created human beings. And so you will need a Bible, paper, and pen for that class for sure. And the last one is with all your mind. And basically is, what does science and the Bible have in common? And do I have to throw my brain out to follow Christ? And so, or to believe in the Bible. And so, last is, if I missed anything or there's any other information or you want to find a way to connect or have prayer requests, you can do so by filling out a prayer card that's in the front seat, as well as there's a bunch of information back at the Connection Center. We've got the men's retreat signups, as well as other things going on. So if I missed anything, go check out the Connection Center. Thanks.
Get these filters changed.
Dinner's at 7.
Yep, I'll be there. Here.
Hey, babe.
Perfect timing.
It's pissing rain out there. Gardner left the lawnmower out.
Harvest is known for an oblique.
How is work?
That's so-so.
Oh, I got new curtains.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
0% APR until March.
Five more minutes. There's this huge space between us, and it just keeps filling up with everything that we don't say to each other. What is that called?
Marriage. What don't you say to each other? The GMC Yukon got 3 stars. This looks nice. Did you do something new?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
I added peas.
Yeah, peas. Yeah, it's the green.
Isn't that inspiring? I mean, doesn't that just... you know, make you excited and fired up to be married? Good morning, I'm Randy. Welcome. Hey, we can bring the lights up a little bit in here, and I can see you guys, and you can see me. That's from Mr. and Mrs. Smith. They're living this life together that's pretty boring. What's different? I added peas, you know? Oh, yeah, it's the green. But what's really going on in their lives? Who are they really? Huh? They're secret agents. Assassins, right? They have this, they are made for much more than the life they're experiencing. They have these hearts that are made for this wild adventure, and they're simply not stepping into it with each other. And welcome. We are in a series that I will show you in a moment called Insider. And at the top there says, go deeper with God. And and really, for a lot of Christians, that clip describes pretty accurately their day-to-day relationship with God. No real connection, kind of bored, going through the motions, right? Sort of, you know? But you contrast that with, let's say, Psalm 63 that I read when we opened up our worship service. Listen to this. Oh God, you are my God. I earnestly seek you. My soul thirsts for you, and my body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I've seen you in the sanctuary, and I've beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I'll lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. What has this guy experienced? Yeah. this guy sounds like a man whose flaming romance has left him lovesick. Right? And he's laying on his bed longing to be, maybe his beloved has gone away for a month on a trip and he's lovesick. It's like reading something from a romance novel. It's vibrant, it's passionate, almost uncomfortably so when we think of God. when we realize it's directed toward God. I mean, have you ever felt like that toward God? And this is not a religion, you know, these aren't religious words from some pale-faced altar boy trying to sound pious. I mean, these are spoken by a man who's killed a lion and a bear with ancient weapons. It's a man who has stood toe-to-toe and taken down a 9-foot-trained warrior. He's led armies. He's been the king of a nation. He understands adventure. He's had all the wealth you can imagine. Yet he talks about God like this. He understands adventure, but knowing God has become a greater adventure, right? And made all those other things pale in comparison. What has he found? What has David found? What makes a person have that kind of passion for God? And frankly, there have been fewer in history who have experienced that kind of passion with God than we may think. It's actually more rare than we think throughout history. And people who found an intimacy and a connection with God that made everything else on earth that they have pale in comparison. And God notices that kind of hunger. God notices that kind of hunger. When it comes to deep love with God, closeness, intimacy with God, God says some things in the Old Testament, and then they're paralleled in the New Testament that are kind of interesting. He says in Deuteronomy 6, this is God speaking, commanding us, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love God wholeheartedly, right? With all of your soul. Your soul's your being, right? Love him with all of your heart, all of your being, and with all of your strength. How could God command you to do something you're not in control of? But isn't it wrong for me to command you to do something you're not? Are you in control of wholeheartedness? Do you think you're in control of wholeheartedness? Do we think we are? We think we're not. We think, I can't make my heart love something. Do you think you can? You must be able to. You actually are in much more control of where you direct your heart and how wholehearted you live than you think. Or he wouldn't command it. Okay, so you've got this God crying out for you to love him with it all. And then, but what about the New Testament? Is that in the New Testament? So Jesus, on the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up, said in a loud voice, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. What's he looking for in people? Who's he want? Who's God looking for here? People who are hungry for him. Right? And so, and then interestingly, we see in James chapter 4, come near to God and he will what? Whose job is it to start? Whose job is it to pursue? You, right? That's what he's saying here. And notice there's movement. You might say, well, I'm a New Testament believer. And that's Old Testament stuff. New Testament, God is in me and he fills me and I don't have to pursue him. He's already there. Is that true? Yes, but why does James tell us come near to God and he'll come near to you? There must be some movement. Who's moving here? Who's moving? Both. You're moving, pursuing him, and he's responding. So whose job is it to make this thing work? Yours or God's? Well, the truth is, before you even started down the road of having a thought about loving God, no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. He's been sending flowers and candy and, you know, notes, love notes to you all your life, right? He's been pursuing you even before you thought about it. So why is there this last verse, come near to God and he will come near to you? Why is that there if God's the one who's started it all? You give 1 inch, he gives back a mile. That's good. That's true. Any of you people dated?
No.
Anybody remember dating? Some of you older folks, do you remember dating? Okay. Like, what happens in dating? In college, I loved dating. Like, my freshman year, I had a goal to go on 50 dates my freshman year. Then we had to define dating, right? Down to, okay, it's at least 30 minutes, and I had to ask her, and then we would go, and at the school I went to, you had to date on campus, so there were like these little, anyway, you don't want to hear about that, but so you'd go and you sit. Now, this is a date. You know, you'd sit, and you'd ask questions, and you'd talk because there were little monitors around, people, little elderly women watching you, you know, the school hired, this is Bob Jones University, I don't recommend it, but 50 dates, I'd made it, 50 dates, and then you'd say thank you, and then you'd always get a little note at the end of the night because they'd deliver the mail, and they always smelled really pretty unless they didn't like you. But, if you remember dating, there is this kind of, somebody makes a move. Somebody sort of steps out and sort of shows some interest, right? A little something, maybe a little note, something. And then what do? You send another note? You send another note? And then another? And then flowers? How's that going to work, guys? Ladies? You're going to crash and burn, aren't you? What do you got to do? You send a little something, you put a little something out there, make a little move, and then you got to wait. Right? What do we call this? The game, right? We hate the game. I don't know how many people have told me, I hate the game. I don't want to play the game. I like her, and I'm just going to tell her I like her, and that's the way it is. And I'm like, slow down, buddy. It ain't going to work, you know, because why? That's not a game. It's actually healthy heart management. There is a dance. There is a give and a take. There's a stepping out, and then there's a waiting, right? It's true in any friendship. It doesn't have to be romantic even. That's growing closer. There's a give and take. God knows that, you know, there is this pursuit. He pursues us, but if it's one-sided, it never takes off. So you see God sort of sending flowers throughout your life, and then he almost holds back, waiting. Are they going to respond? Are they going to send me a note back? Is there any desire there? And that's when sometimes you'll find God seeming distant. But he's not distant. He's just in it for what you're in it for. You want mutual love. And so does he. So does he. He's really actually not interested in being the great vending machine in the sky where you sort of put in the coin of, you know, prayer and go to church and out should roll a happy life and blessing. He's actually in it for you. He wants what you want in love. He wants relationship, connection, intimacy. And so this is true in any friendship that's growing closer. And God, listen to this, does us no favors if he acts cheap and easy to be found by us with little effort on our part. He does us no favors because he knows he's worth our highest pursuit. And if he was cheap and easy, we wouldn't value it as much, and the finding of him is the greatest thing in the universe, and so he intentionally makes it not a snap. Did you know that? Why is he saying, seek me with all your heart? Because it will require that. Just like guys, think of you young guys, if a girl doesn't take some effort, what do you think? They're all like, the guys over here are like, no, don't want her. Why? And the girls are like, dang it. You know, that's lame because now I got to play the game. Sorry. I think it's universal, maybe because it's written on our hearts with God. He's worth our highest pursuit. And honestly, God doesn't have a casual mode. I don't think he does. He didn't have a casual mode where he's okay with sort of a let's talk about the weather kind of relationship. He wants to go deep. He wants it to be about the heart. He wants it to be, you know, he's just one of those people. You ever meet one of those people that they can't talk on the surface? Like you're with them about 5 minutes and they're like talking deep. They go to the heart level. You're like, yeah, Randy, we've met you. That's how he is. Okay. So in his personality, people met Jesus, and how fast did he go after their deep heart? Like, maybe the first sentence, you know? Maybe the second, you know? Yeah, no, just good. Just go sell everything you have and come follow me. You bet, you know? That's where he's at. He goes right for it. He wants your heart. He wants it all. And I believe that both men and women really bear the image of God, and we can learn a lot about God simply by sort of, you know, observing men and observing women, or observing even boys and girls. And so you can learn, like, you know, if you look at men, you know, God has this heart. You know, we're in his image as men. And so I like, you know, think of Maximus or William Wallace, you know, you can see a lot about the strength of God in Scripture. You look at a man, you know, this picture of Maximus or Wallace, you see William Wallace, you see this integrity and standing for something and willing to give his life. Both of those films, they give their lives so that the people could be free. This standing in our strength. But I think if you look at the heart of women, women are just as in the image of God. And women can be fierce and women can be strong, absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of women I'm afraid of. But I don't think that's the core of a woman's heart. I think she wants to be pursued. She wants to be, if anything I've ever heard from women, as this is my deepest heart, is I want to be, especially women in their marriage, I want to be priority. Ladies, would you agree? Yes. Is that some of you at least? You bear, in that way, you bear the image of God because that's what you see him say over and over again. Will you make me priority? Will you make me priority? Not because of the ways that I come through for you. Not because I do the dishes. Not because I've got a job and I'm helping contribute to the finances. But because I capture you. That's what he wants from us. He has that heart. And I think we get to see it as men, we get to see it in our wives. And you get to see it in women everywhere around. God wants to be captivating to us. So I want you to notice, I got another clip for you here. This is from Pride and Prejudice. I want you to notice, guys especially, how Mr. Collins pursues Elizabeth. Okay? And for what reasons? And then what's her reaction? So if we can kill the lights. Let's hit that. Do we lose it? Should I click, guys, or you? Let's just take a minute while they're getting that. There we go.
Dear Miss Elizabeth, I'm sure my attentions have been too marked to be mistaken. Almost as soon as I entered the house, I singled you out as the companion of my future life. But before I am run away with my feelings, perhaps I may state my reasons for marrying. Firstly, that it is the duty of a clergyman to set the example of matrimony in his parish. Secondly, that I am convinced it will add greatly to my happiness. And thirdly, that it is at the urging of my esteemed patroness, Lady Catherine, that I select a wife. My object in coming to Longbourn was to choose such a one from among Mr. Bennet's daughters, for I am to inherit the estate, and such an alliance will surely suit everyone. And now, nothing remains but for me to assure you in the most animated language of the violence of my affection.
Mr. Collins!
And that no reproach on the subject of fortune will cross my lips once we're married.
You are too hasty, sir. You forget that I have given no answer.
I must add that Lady Catherine will thoroughly approve when I speak to her of your modesty, economy, and other amiable qualities.
Sir, I am honoured by your proposal, but I regret that I must decline it.
I know ladies don't seek to seem too easy.
Mr. Collins, I am perfectly serious. You could not make me happy, and I'm convinced I'm the last woman in the world who could make you happy.
I flatter myself, cousin, that your refusal is merely a natural delicacy. Besides, you should take into account that despite your manifold attractions, it's by no means certain that another offer of marriage may ever be made to you.
Mr. Collins!
So I must conclude that you simply seek to increase my love by suspense.
Sir!
According to the usual practice of elegant females.
Sir! I am not the sort of female to torment a respectable man. Please understand me, I cannot accept you.
Let me assure you of the violence of my affection.
Okay, so what's he in it for? I mean, that's certainly inspiring. What was he in it for? To set an example for the congregation. It's my duty, right? What else?
He didn't say anything right.
He didn't say anything right. That's good. Yeah, you're amiable. I've had a chance to watch it a couple of times, and he says a lot there, but ultimately he's motivated to pursue her in order to please his patron. So there's somebody who's giving him some financial, you know, support and to help him inherit the estate, right? In other words, Elizabeth is functional for him, right? She's a tool to make life work for him, and without all the benefits, maybe he wouldn't really even pursue her. Which brings me to, what God said to me about 20 years ago. Randy, is there anything you want with me that doesn't add up to your success? And my answer was, no, not really. Not really. Because I knew what he was asking. I knew he was asking, do you really love me for me? If all the stuff, eternal life, good things happening in this life, if that stuff was off the table, would you still want me? And my answer was no. I want that. I want to want you for you, but honestly, I'm not there. And so that began my prayer of, would you change my heart to want you? Okay, would you change me? Would you do the surgery in me? And I certainly don't want to send the message to you guys that God is upset with you because your motives are wrong and you're all about yourself. He actually is incredibly kind and will pursue us, even knowing that our motives are not what they're not yet what they will be. Okay? They're not yet what they will be. George MacDonald said that until we learn to love God, even fearful obedience is better than no obedience, right? There is a progression from all kinds of, I would say, lower motivations to follow God to higher ones. Love, intimacy, connection. You are the source, okay? But we are, and we are beginning a series about going deeper with God. And so really purification of your motives, right? If you want to get closer to anyone, moving toward better motives is a huge step. Wanting them for them is a huge step in the right direction. So we're talking about that today. God has been sending notes and gifts and romancing you all along. But he likely won't be very responsive if I return pursuit with all the passion of Mr. Collins, okay? Monday night at our home is family night. Monday night's when we usually it's my day off, and I'm usually tinkering in the garage and get my head out of everything and into welding or something cool like that. And then that night is always, what do we want for dinner? And it's going to be like a special dinner, and it's going to be, and then we're with the family. We're going to, what are we going to do tonight? And we're to play a game, or, you know, and we really look forward to it. It's prime time for our family, and Monday nights. And this last Monday night, we were getting ready to, you know, we're having dinner, and Anya said to me, she'd been wrestling with just feeling kind of needing God. And she's like, would you guys mind if I just kind of hold up in the bedroom tonight? You guys just do whatever you want to do. I just feel like I need to go spend time with the Lord. And she spent 3 hours. It's worship, prayer. She gave him prime time. See? She felt this hunger that we see here in Psalm 63. If we look to David, you say, David, what can you teach us about pursuing God? What can you teach us about knowing him? We can look at just the very beginning of this, Psalm 63, 1 through 6. Go, oh God, you're my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. I think one of the things we can see right off the bat is if David were here, he would say, I'm not discouraged by or afraid of my thirst. I'm not discouraged by or afraid of my thirst. That's something just to note, you know, because we don't usually celebrate our unmet longings, do we? We don't. We anesthetize them. We avoid them. Being thirsty and or hungry can be kind of painful, right? And honestly, I don't like feeling hungry or needy, so I want to escape it. So I'll have a glass of wine or I'll watch a movie. I'll find an adventure, right? But David didn't do that. He let the thirst and hunger build to the point where he's at the breaking point. I must be satisfied, right? My body longs for you. He's not afraid of his thirst. There was a great, He saw the ache as his friend. There's a great commercial. Some of you people remember it. Back in the 90s, there's this commercial where it wasn't a soft drink commercial, but it's this Olympic, diver. He's climbing up this ladder, and it's like lava everywhere. He's like in a volcano. And he's climbing up this ladder, and he's like all orange from the color of the lava. And he gets to the top, and he does this, you know, bounces on the thing and does a flip and dives in, and he dives into the lava. And it's like, you know, there's just this big flame out. And you're like, what? I remember just the first time I saw it. Did anybody see that commercial? Remember it? Oh, gosh. Must have been in the 80s. No, do you remember it? So the guy, like, you're like, he's toast, you know? And then a couple seconds later, he's like, comes up like he's in a pool, and he does a backstroke over to the shore, climbs out, walks over, and gets a whatever, you know, a Sprite or something or a 7-Up, and he's, you know, and he's all sweaty and hot, you know. That's the way I think David lived with his thirst. He didn't try to avoid it. He celebrated it. He saw it as a sign of life. He dove deeper into the lava to get the thirst really cooking. And listen to me here. Some of you who've pursued God and it hasn't gone well. I want to tell you the good news is that much of the frustration you have felt, even anger at times, at not finding God when you've really tried, is a sign of life. It's a sign of a heart that longs for God. And actually, it's to be celebrated. If you feel hunger and thirst, even pain, you are close. Let that drive you further, seeking him with all of your heart. Don't be afraid of your hunger. Another one is, he says, my body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I think the next kind of conviction that David would come here and say is, you know, nothing here satisfies. I think it takes some living on this planet and trying to be satisfied here before you learn the lesson that King Solomon could teach us in Ecclesiastes or most NFL successful NFL football players could teach us, which is having it all doesn't work. Okay? you know, how many of us would say, you know, if only I would have married Erlen instead of Hank, you know? If only I would have married Sally instead of, you know, having the right spouse, that would work. I blew it. See, I just married wrong. Uh-uh. How many wives does Solomon have? Huh? I think it was in 1,000. I have a conviction. Nothing here will really satisfy. Listen to what Solomon says. I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved meaningless. That's what you get with these NFL players who have been at the top. They're like, it don't work. It won't work. We think it will. But if I just had, you know, what about if I had, you know, that Tesla, you know? That's my thing. Or a Bugatti, you know, I just, you know, but Solomon had, you know, I'm sure he had a Lamborghini chariot. He had like all the best chariots covered with gold, the best horses, you know, I bet he had, you know, whatever, that perfect car or that perfect house. If we could just, no, you got to understand, we're looking for it because we bought this property and we're going to build this house on it and that's it, man. It's going to be the cat's meow when we get that. See, and Solomon had a palace, you know, that was covered in gold. Renown. Fame. Renown at his time. Probably the most famous of his time. And he's the one who says, meaningless. It didn't work. Okay? It didn't satisfy. Right? He had servants. You know, how many women have said, my life would be great if I could only have a maid. You know, anybody said that here? Guys? Some of you guys, maybe? Yeah. Yep. Nope. Nope. David had a conviction that there's nothing here that would satisfy. There is no water here in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I desire you, Psalm 73 says, more than anything on earth. On earth. It's a tall statement. Can you say that about God? Can you go there? God has placed in us a hunger that simply can't be filled by anything here. And when we try to fill it with something else, it always makes us sick. It makes our condition worse. And that's why in Isaiah 55, God says, come, all you are thirsty, come to the waters. And you have no money even. Come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk. He's not literal, spiritual wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? I mean, that sentence in bold describes the world we live in. Spending our money on what is not bread, and our labor on what does not really satisfy, doesn't it? And it describes much of the church, honestly. Listen, eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. Just a couple things more I want to point out that David would teach us if he came here. I think he would say this. Now, it's not direct. I think it's inherent in this first verse. If I let my thirst drive me to seek God, I got to tell you guys, you can't control finding him. I can trust him that I'm in good hands and wait on him and keep seeking. There is a truth to the fact that you simply can't, you got to come to peace with the fact that you can't control finding him. You seek him, and you may not feel like you've connected. You seek him, and you'll have times, maybe many, where you didn't feel like you were filled with the Spirit or his love, and you can't control it. You just can't control it. And some folks try to control it by keeping their Christianity more intellectual. Well, I believe, and that's enough. Theologically, I'm close to God. Right? I'm just going to keep it right up here in the intellect, you know? And I don't need that whole emotionalism or some encounter with God. It's quite different to contemplate the concept of marriage from being married. Does that make sense? You can contemplate the concept of marriage intellectually. It's very different from being married. You want the real deal. And if you want the real deal, you got to seek. You've got to trust that you're in good hands and that he is going to arrange for connecting with him in his time, and his time is right. And that's hard for us. Micah 7, but as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me. I wait for him. My God will hear me. Now, while you're in this place of can't control it, it exposes all kinds of things that are going on inside of you that need to be exposed, that are actually in the way. Things like, well, maybe he's withholding from me. Things like, I've tried this, you know, and I've prayed, and I'm not getting anything. Maybe he isn't even real. Anybody ever experienced some of that? Or maybe he isn't enough of a source to really keep me chasing him. Or maybe I'm just not enough for him. He wouldn't go out of his way for me because I'm a disappointment. Now, pursuing God and realizing you can't control the encounter, but still pursuing, exposes these things. Those deep convictions will come to the surface, and they are important data, revealing things that are in the way, actually. These are in the way of your intimacy with him. Pay attention to them. Right? You can't control it. You can only wait on him in faith, and he's good. He will come. But you got to seek him with all your heart. Okay, one other thing is, I think David would say, my experience tells me that encountering God's love for me is better than anything else I've ever tasted on earth. Has anybody here had an encounter with God where they would say, I can tell you, like David, there's nothing, yeah, raise your hands, there's nothing that compares to this. Okay? I was at a 3-day pastor's prayer conference in up in some hills out here years ago. It was 3 days of prayer. And I'm done with day two, and I'm trying all day, 2 days, right? And there's one more day, and I'm praying and I'm feeling distant from God. My prayer is like, I just really am struggling with feeling like you love me. And I'm just praying on and on and praying and trying to please him and trying to seek him with all my heart. And it's just not, and I'm like frustrated about that. And then the next day, the last day, is the hot seat day, okay? Which is all the pastors are in one room and they have a seat in the middle. They're all around the perimeter. And a guy can go sit in the middle. And then the other guys come around you and they pray for you, okay? And so I'm there sitting in the corner, you know, kind of huddled in the corner, and all these guy after guy are going up there, and I'm like, I should go, I need to go, I need to go, I gotta go up there. And so finally I get up and I go sit in this hot seat, and these guys come around and they're like, what do you want prayer for? And really what I wanted was to feel God's love and this connection with God, and that's what I was desperate for. But you know what I told them? I've been struggling with some allergies. And I'm totally poser, you know, because I can't tell a bunch of pastors that I don't feel close to God after 2 days. So this guy comes over to me. I kid you not. This guy puts his hand on my shoulder, and they all close their eyes, and he says, Lord, Randy's having a hard time experiencing your love. And I went, oh my goodness. And he says, Lord, would you fill Randy with your love? And his hand was here, and it felt like something went through my body, like electricity, energy, like liquid love. And I was high for a month. There is nothing like encountering the living God. And had he not built up that hunger in me in those 2 days, and if I wasn't willing to go through that hunger like David, but I was like, this, I'm done with this. This ain't working. Right? Well, that's inspiring. You really want me? Right? if I wasn't willing to go through, and I probably wouldn't have. I probably would have. If it were just me, if I wasn't locked into a 3-day prayer retreat that I paid money to go to, I probably would have ditched. But I got something out, because after 2 days of being that hungry, I had this experience. It was worth it. I would go through that kind of hunger pain every day for that. Now, God, I rode that wave for a month, but guess what? God doesn't allow the wave to keep going. Why? Because yesterday's manna was not meant to fill you today. That's why it went rotten. It wasn't about food. It was about feeding on him. If you remember that story. Okay? And you need to have you need to go to him every day. He wants what you want. Real relationship. Real intimacy. So, I came from a very intellectual Christianity. And people who've never really encountered God like I'm talking about, and have experienced his love, they have a much more difficult time expressing love to God back. And I came from this intellectual Christianity. I remember the first time I went to a church that raised their hands, I thought, these guys are fruitcakes. You know, this place is full of a bunch of fakes. You know, and he says, in your name I'll lift up my hands. I thought they're pretty over the top until I encountered his love. Until I encountered his love. So David, even though he can't control it, lives with the confidence that God will come, God will rescue, God will fill up his soul. So just real quick review here. David, what can you teach us? One, I've learned that my thirst is my friend. I'm not discouraged by it. Two, I've come to realize nothing here will really satisfy. If I let my thirst drive me to seek God, I can't control finding him, but I trust that I'm in good hands, and so I'll keep seeking and wait. And encountering God's love and union with God is better than anything else I've ever tasted here on earth. If you want a deeper walk with God, I would suggest you move toward these convictions. That'll be posted on our website. You can download this PowerPoint. And you might be here and going, I'm kind of new to this. I'm new to the whole God Christianity thing. Where do I start? Well, first of all, I want to suggest you give prime time to seek him. This is actually true for all of us. Two, ask him to make you hungry, but beware, it won't feel good. And that's okay. Three, seek him in his word. It's filled with his heart toward you. Take it, each promise, each statement, as though it was meant for you. Start in the New Testament. Start reading Matthew. The first chapter is a little difficult to get through because it's a list. But after that, it's the life of Jesus. Dive into that. Find out what he's really like. Fall in love with him. And then the wanna-wanna prayer. You guys know the wanna-wanna prayer? The wanna-wanna prayer is, I want to want you. I'm not sure I really want you, but I want to want you. Make that your prayer. And I want to lead us in that right now. Okay, would you pray with me? All right. Lord, I confess that I don't want you right now as much as you're worthy to be wanted. I know that's true of me. Lord, I know my life is filled with so many distractions and so many things that I'm excited about. And those aren't bad, Lord, I know that. But I want to want you more. I want a heart that's hungry for you. And so, Lord, and I'm inviting you to pray this as well. Would you make me want you more? Would you make me hungry? Lord, I want a season these next months where I find you more deeply than I've ever found you in my life. Amen? Amen. We're starting this series again on Insider, and it's a book that is available to you for free if you attend Adventure Church, and you can get those at the Connection Center. Jeff Hans is going to come up and lead us in some really awesome news. Wherever he is. There he is.
Yeah, we have some more new members to announce this morning, so we're going to do that. Wow, Nick, you'd probably hate it if I stepped on the neck of your guitar. So if Rob and Eileen, you want to come up here? Rob and Eileen Petron. They've got a little one, William, in Sunday school. And then James and Celeste Dorn. You guys want to come up here too? There's more space over here, so. Hey. So, yeah, membership at Adventure Church looks like coming to a members class. We call it Discover Adventure. And there is another one coming up here April 26th. There's some sign-ups at the Connection Center. If you're interested in that, we'll serve lunch. It is important to sign up for that so we can make sure to have enough food for you guys. But if you're interested in it, that class is not a commitment to membership here, but it's learning about Adventure Church and what that process looks like for a membership. It's the class and then actually meeting with one of the lead team members, one of the elders, and just telling your story, telling your testimony of coming to Christ. And so these guys have been through that process, and they're excited to be committed here at Adventure Church. Like Randy said, men and women reflect the character of God. And at even, I think, a more accurate level, we as the body of Christ come together, each of us with our uniqueness, and reflect the character of Christ to this world. So when people come to this body, to this fellowship, to an event Sunday morning, or any time we're gathered together to minister together to one another, they experience God through us. So membership is just saying, I'm in, I'm committed to be a part of that body, that's reflecting his character. There's other Christian fellowships in town as well, reflecting the character and body of Christ and reaching people as well. And so at a higher level, we're connected with all of them as well. So our tradition is just to welcome you up here. We're not going to embarrass you or make you, you know, give a speech or sing a song or do anything. But we do want to bless you by praying for you as a church family. So we're going to do that. So if you feel led, just, you know, extend your hand out and just in agreement with this prayer towards them. So, Lord, we just thank you for Rob and Eileen. Thank you, Lord, for James and Celeste. And, God, we just welcome them into the Adventure family. Thank you. Just they've already begun to get involved and are plugged in. But, Lord, would you help reveal your character more? Would we know you better because we know them and because we fellowship with them? Lord, I pray that you'd help them to find their place as well, where they bring their strength to this body to reflect who you are, Lord. Just pray for the gifts of the Spirit that you have for them to come out and just impact not only this fellowship, but this community. And so we just thank you for them. Help us to know how we can best support them as well as church family members. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Bless you guys. Thanks for coming up. So with that, you guys have a great Sunday. Remember Connection Center in the back there. Wow. And also, don't forget about the prayer over here. You know, Randy just gave a great testimony of going to somebody and they knew through the Spirit what that person needed. They knew what Randy needed from the Lord and prayed for him. We have that available here this morning. People who love to pray, listen to the Lord on your behalf. So feel free to come over here and there'll be people to pray for you. Have a great Sunday. Rest.